Now, I said I was going to give you a dollar of psalms and paraphrases, and I'm going to take you a step further back just now because I'm going to preach from the authorized version of the Bible, the AD of the Bible. You can stick to your own ones, but I'm sticking to this one because this has been with me all my ministry, all everywhere I've ever been. And on this evening, I come here with the same message. At John's Gospel on chapter 8, at verse 31. At verse 31. This is how it goes in mind. Then said Jesus to the Jews, to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And again he goes on to say at verse 51, and this is the one I want to take this evening, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. That's quite a profound statement. It's not the type of statement that you read in the newspapers or on their television as a rule, in the general journals anyway. But here we have a statement that is quite startling, because he says, if a man or a woman keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Jesus here is concluding the conversation he had with the Jews, who were so heavy on him, always out to catch him out in some way or another. But Christ knew them better, because he knew their hearts, something they didn't know. And that is why we see him here winning and coming up with something every time that flattens them. And he uses one of the greatest statements, if not one of the greatest statements anyway in the Gospel, according to St. John. And there are many of them in any Bible. There are statements here that you can easily remember, you can easily regurgitate them, and that's what I like about the AD. It helps us. It's so poetic that it stretches along the way for us. You can recite it. You can in your own mind learn it. But I'm not saying anything about the other one. The others, that's fine if you like these things. But I'm quite happy with what I had all my life preaching from it. I couldn't see that Bible just now to read, and that's why I always take my own Bible with me, because I've landed up in things that you wouldn't, not just glasses, but magnifying glasses to see them, and I can't operate in that type of situation. But I can operate with my own Bible, which is a larger print. I don't know why that was. But this is what he says anyway to them. If a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. And we're going to look at this from three or four, not long winded type of a message at all, but from four headings. First of all, the concluding statement that we have here. The concluding statement. If any man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. And here we have, it could be technical, but we're not going down that road tonight. The doctrine of the immortality of the believer. That's what this is all about. Who could say to you, you will never see death? But we'll look at that as we go through it to see what he means. Whether you hear it, he said, or not, whether we listen to it or not, the truth remains the same. An old boy I knew when I was young, he always used to say this in his prayers, that the truth will be the truth, whatever hand it places us on. The truth's not going to change with opinions or anything like that. It is whichever hand he puts on it, because it's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, like Moses, he said that himself. And if you read the Old Testament, like Deuteronomy, and people don't like reading the Old Testament, because I don't know why some people don't like it, because they say it's old and it's this, but the multiplication table is old. We don't discard it. Anything like that, you see, it's still the same as the one that your grandparents used in school. One and one is still two. It'll never be three. It'll never be five. But you don't discard it for that. But there are important things that he says here that match in with this man. He says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh or near unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil." He's not saying the same thing as Jesus Christ was saying here. "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed might live." So important that we carry this into the Old Testament long before Jesus Christ was known on this earth in his humiliation. But he is the one who is the God of truth and without iniquity, just and right and forgiving. And that's where he says the Lord's portion is his people. The Lord always drew a line between the Egyptians and the Christians, the Jews, those who believed, the covenant people. He always drew a line there between them and said the same thing. And he sets before them here life and death. Nothing could be more simple than that. Blessings, curses. We don't have to complicate it. That's exactly what we're talking about here. We're not talking about entertaining people. Entertainment is for the theatre and other places like that, where you can laugh your head off for a while and then come back to the reality that is this world itself. And that is why he says this. He says before us life and death. And Jesus says to avoid the sentence of death, of this death. This death that we speak of in the scripture is not just the natural death. There is the natural death, there is the spiritual death, and there is the eternal death. There's a threefold death. And this is why we get so bogged down and so cantankerous about things like this. If anybody says about death, then we cannot undo it or can adjust our minds to work out what this is saying. And that is what the beauty of the gospel. Jesus never said to them, "Understand me." But he said, "Follow me. Follow me." And there's a big difference, because in this world, we work with reason. our minds work out, and then we come to a blank because we can't go further than that, than reason. Because we need another ticket to go beyond reason into the supernatural. And this is an emphasis upon the supernatural that is so, so important for us. We are not here because we are better than somebody else. We are not here because we are cleverer than somebody else. We are just here because of the grace of Almighty God has worked in our lives to change us and to prepare us for this very issue that he has here. This is to avoid this death, he says. Then he says, my saints are your only hope. The gospel is the only hope tonight. It doesn't matter who says this, who says that. These people come and they go. But you can't argue, as somebody said, a man. You can argue a person out of a theory. And there are many of them. But you can't argue a person out of an experience, what he has experienced in his life. And that is what they have experienced here, is the grace of God that enlightened their minds, and they saw now as they were unable to see before. To keep my sayings, you see, is to receive this word into our hearts and to embrace it. To embrace it in such a way that we live by it. My sayings means the whole doctrine of Scripture. Not selective Scripture. Not sensationalism. But the whole doctrine of Scripture. Because we need that as we pass through this life with you. You will, and I have, and will experience these things. It is not a fantasy world that we pass through. We are bound by all the things in this world to test us, to try us, and to see who we believe. And we see here that Satan is the liar, and he has always been a liar, and there is no truth in him. But it's amazing how soon and how capable we are, because of our fallen nature, to accept a lie rather than to believe the truth. Not so difficult for us at all. It seems so easy to do, to believe some rumor or other that's going around, it says, and spreads like wildfire, but not the truth, it says. The truth. And that is what you need. That's what I need tonight here. The whole Jesus. The whole Jesus. Not bits of him. Not bits and pieces. But the whole Jesus. If we are to be delivered from the spiritual death, well, then from the eternal death. Isn't it wonderful, man, when we leave this life, that we are not bound by the perimeters of this world here, that we can look and see beyond that through the eye of faith that Christ has given us. Not that we have done it ourselves, and that's why we want to tell others about it, how wonderful the gospel is. And it's your only hope and my only hope. The law of the Spirit of life, he said, in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's the law that I was wrestling with. That's why I was trying to be the upright person. That's why I was persecuting the Christians. That's why I was doing all sorts of wrongs. Because he was under the law of sin and death, thinking that he could, through the law, find a way to God. And he was finding it in his own way, until God stopped him on that road that day and said to him, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you up to? Why are you persecuting me? Oh, he says,
It's hard for you to do that.
You can't do that. You can't take on God and win. It doesn't matter how we rebel against him. It doesn't matter if we storm out of here just now. We can't take on God and win. Because there are no winners on that channel. It is. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, he says. It is Christ who died. It wasn't the other person that died. It wasn't the Jews that died. It wasn't the Samaritans, and it wasn't any of the Pharisees that died. It was Christ who died. It was God himself in the person of his Son who died, that we might be translated from the kingdom of darkness into his glorious light. And then we can sing in Christ alone. Christ alone, my hope is rest. Who is he then that condemned in this? You can't, because it is Christ who died. And it is Christ, he said, who rose again. And that is the power that we are craving for in our midst. Where people are running this way, that way, up, down, in, out, trying to get satisfaction somewhere. And there is no satisfaction in these things, just a momentary satisfaction. And then the wave comes back again, all over you, and you're back to where you were before. You see, total satisfaction, as we know it here, is found in embracing Christ, in knowing him, and not compromising on him in issues, in weighty issues, not at all. That would be my advice to any young person here tonight, is never compromise whatever people say to you. Never compromise on the scriptures, my friend, because they're there to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. So therefore, who then can separate us? No one can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The love of Christ. And then we are more than conquerors because of that. You don't feel like a conqueror. You might feel as weak as can be here this evening and be with you. But that's not the end of the story. But we are conquerors in him. In him who loved us and gave himself for us. Gave us all for us. Didn't hold anything back. Yes, we have to go through the gates of death here. That's natural. It'd be very unnatural if a generation didn't follow a generation. Of course it does. And he is no respecter of persons, and no respecter of who, what age we are or not. And that sting, even if it has that sting removed from it, it is still sore, my friend. It's sore for you. It's sore for me. It's sore because of what it does to us. It severs everything that we have tied together and have been tied together in this life. And it looks cruel. And then they say, well, why did God do all this to me? Well, when you meet him, maybe he'll answer that question. I can't answer that question because he is higher than our ways, and his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are way beyond our thoughts. Richard Baxter, who was a very holy man in his own day, he said on his deathbed, he said that I groan, he said, but I don't grumble. And there's a lot in that. I groan, he said, but I don't grumble. I don't hold this against God. Why is that? Well, that's a sign of a man who was at peace with God. Peace with God. Where did we find the peace with God? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no point in talking about the peace of God until we know the peace that is in God, the peace of God in our own personal lives. And that is why we can be bold with the scriptures, because we know what we are talking about. And if you haven't been on the other side of the fence, there's no point in arguing. But these people will always argue against religion and all these things because of things they see that they don't like. But that isn't, that's not going to change any of this. It's a serious matter, he said, and it has to be faced. But it's not the end of the matter. It's not the end. Because Christ came forth out from the grave. He went through the grave so that we can go through the grave also. By keeping his sayings, his sayings, they are central to all this. Jesus is the antidote for this. Nothing else. Alcohol, drugs, immorality, you try it, they've tried it all. There's no end to this endlessness of things coming up in front of us every day in life, but that's not going to bring our soul satisfaction. The soul satisfaction is humbling ourselves at the feet of Christ, becoming nothing. And I believe that that's the problem today, that people are so full of themselves, even in the pulpit, that God himself can't work through them. God wants an empty channel that he can speak through. Speak his word, not our own words, to him. Not at all. Jesus is the true believer's hope. What will be our experience then on the resurrection morning? Isn't that something to look forward to? When there is so little to look forward to, when you pass the 40 mark, the 50 mark, the 60 mark, the 70 mark, and up to that, what is there then to look forward to without this? Nothing. Just die. And then some comedian comes along and says, "Oh well, that's because it's a process of annihilation. You're not there anymore." But that's not the Christian. The Christian hope is that should he die, yet shall he live. He shall live, and he shall live forever. That's the beauty of it, because he has listened to this man. The confusion that is explained here. They come up with an answer. The world will always come up with some question or other that they think is waterproof. They said, Abraham said, was our father. That sounds as if they know a lot about Abraham. Abraham is our father, he said. And Jesus is still, the Jews are still arguing regarding Abraham, which shows them that they are carnal. The Corinthians were carnal. Paul couldn't speak to them as spiritual people, but as carnal people, because they had drifted away. And he says, if a person doesn't have the Spirit of God, it doesn't belong to him. It doesn't. It's either yes or no, in or out. That's how it is in the Christian faith. There are many ups and downs in the Christian faith. Believe you me, there are plenty of them, my friend. But there is no such a thing as in and out of the Christian faith. No such thing. Once you're in, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're sealed there forever. You might not be employed in work to do with that, to things like this, but it doesn't really matter. Once you're in. But God wants us to be working and witnessing for him so that we have something to present to him when we meet him. He said there were others they were going to be saved as through fire. He didn't say they were lost, but he said they would be saved as through fire, because they would have no works to present to God at the end. They took the easy route, Mary, to heaven in their carpet slippers and did nothing for the Lord. But that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to do, to try and do our best. If he gave us one talent, he expects us to do improve it by 100%. If he gave us two, he also wants it. And if he gave us five, he wants us 100%. That's all he wants, 100%, from all of us in this matter. And that is why Christ came into this life, just to do his work. To finish it off, to finish off. While they were building the railway across America, from east to west and west to east, they were working away, and they were working and working and working, and it was hard work. There was none of the things that you have today to do with this work. But they persevered and persevered along there until the day came when the two railways came together. And what did they do then? Well, they put a golden spike into the earth there and wrote on it, "It is finished." And if that is true for our railway, what about our Lord? With his own blood he sealed it. It is finished. No one else is going to add anything to it or subtract anything from it forever and ever and ever. But they say, "Ah, but what about Abraham?" They come up with Abraham again and again. But he says, it's not like that. He says, God, he says, "I know Abraham very well." They place the honor on him. But he says, "My father honors me, and I honor him." "And you know, your father Abraham," he said, "unless you, in case you don't know," he said, he rejoiced to see my day. Back at the beginning of the Old Testament, in that sacrifice that he went up to Mount Moriah with his son to sacrifice him, to just show God that he meant what he said. And that's what God says to us when we profess faith, that we mean what we say and that we stick to that say. And he said, where is the fire and where is the wood? We've got all that. He said, "Where's the sacrifice?" He said, "Oh," he said, "God himself, my son," he said, "will find a lamb for himself." And surely he did. But Abraham believed God. And then that is why he rejoiced to see that. He saw it through the eye of faith, within what was going to happen at Calvary thousands of years after this. And that's wonderful. That is wonderful. And Jesus takes a step back with them a wee bit further. They're not going to stump Christ. Not going to stump Christ. He says to them, for a moment, he says, "Before Abraham was, I am. I am." That's what you have to concentrate on. Not on human beings, my friend. Not on images or not on statutes or anything like that. But upon the I am. This is how he revealed himself to Moses in the wilderness like that, when he said, "Oh, who will believe me," he says, "when I go? For the children of Israel, who will I say that sent me? You go and say, I am sent you." It's all encapsulated in that word, I am. What I will be, and I will always be. And this is why we find a soul upset about their theology, that they haven't got past this yet. "I am," he said, "brought you out of Egypt," he said. "And I am died for you on the tree there," he said. And this is the amazing strength of the foundation that the Christian has.
in his faith.
It's not like any other foundation. Don't you believe that when someone comes to you and say, oh, well, what about this? What about that? What about the next one? What about this? What about this fellow believes this? Well, let them be. Let it be. That has no comparison besides this. He came to do this. That's why you can sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All around us, the sinking sand, but the rock of ages is there, cleft for me, and that's where your security lies. That is why when he took the psalmist out of the fearful pit, out of the miry clay, and to set his feet upon a rock. If you're passing through a boggy place at any time in your life, there is a sense of insecurity about your walking. Until you're longing for the moment when your feet can feel something solid under you, like a stone or something like that, and you're up and you're away. And that's the picture that he paints of it here. Resting on Jesus. Resting upon the true rock. And the mark of a stable heart is consistency. Not here today, gone tomorrow. Not on something else tomorrow and the next thing. And some challenge comes, out of here, off we go. Not at all. It's about consistency in the word of the living God that abides forever. And we see just a few words at the end. The callous report here. Response, I say. The callous response. They took up stones to throw at. See how soon they had forgotten what Christ had said to them when the woman that brought full of themselves to him, he said, because of a problem. And he said, well, he says, the first person without sin will throw it, the first stone. But now they're at it again. They have forgotten that now. Now it's stoning. He said, they stoned the prophets. Jerusalem had stoned the throne, the city of David, the privileged places. And we need to be careful that we don't stone the prophets. We don't stone the person who stands here week by week by week and preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ to him. He needs help. He needs encouragement. He needs all that we can give him, because he is very unique in his own way. He's a good man. He probably has a lot to learn, but didn't we all have a lot to learn? No one's above the scripture. Not at all. Calvary echoes it again. Take him away from us. We don't want this man to rule over us. What is our response this evening to the truths, the searching truths of Scripture? Well, in a word, the consequences that follow. And this is where my Bible differs. Your Bible differs from my Bible. I like this one because, you see, it doesn't water it down in any way. He says it so gently, and so he passed by. We talk about people passing away. And so he passed by. He says here, and your Bible it probably says something like he left the synagogue or something like that. But I don't feel that has the same feeling as this, the passing by. Because in there itself was a sermon, a mighty sermon. Would they ever see him again? Would he ever preach to them again? Would they have another opportunity to do anything? The opportunity by them was abused. And they regretted. Anybody who has who has abused this man and done nothing about it, about Christ, but truly he will regret it forever and ever and ever and ever. Judas misused it, fell from the grace of the gospel, my friend. Fell from the grace of the gospel. Went out into the night, into the darkness, into the spiritual death that awaits all who do not have the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. These things are not easily said, friends. They're not easy to be said. It'd be a lot easier for me to say, oh, love, 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 and love everything, and you love, and you love, and you love. Well, that's fine. That's fine. But that is the other side of the coin as well. We have to take all the scripture with us. Tonight, here in the scripture, in this place, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by us. He's here, right here with us. You see, he's passing by. Those who have passed away, we are only a step behind them, and we will soon be joining them. But they don't die without hope. There's nothing as treacherous as giving a person a hope and a great eulogy when you know fine well he had no interest in the Bible, interest in the gospel, interest in anything. That's not being true to the sayings of Christ. It's pure hypocrisy, and a dangerous practice that we should refrain from. Oh, that we could hear him, that he could say, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. If I could touch the hem, he might not notice it, you see. But Jesus Christ noticed. And they said to him, why? And all these things, why are you on about? He says, all the people are around you. Oh, he says, I know it because power went out from me. Power went out from me. Into that woman, into that boy, into that girl, into that person, and he'll never be the same again. That's the gospel. That's what the gospel does. It changes us dramatically from the inside outwardly and gives us a new appetite for the things that cannot perish. Stand in the way, Jeremiah said to God, and see and ask, he said, for the old path. Ask, where is the good way? And walk therein. And what did he say? And you will find rest for your souls. And that is the rest that we so need today in our land from north to south. Rest for our souls, because we are restless until we find our rest in him. What did they say? We will not. We will not. That was, we don't hear that very often. We hear that we have not rest for the soul, but that doesn't end there. They said, Jerusalem said, we will not. They're the losers. And they're the losers, my friend, and hopefully tonight here, as we close together, how wonderful it is to be here tonight with you and with so many young people in the gathering here. And I hope that you never, ever forget what has been done for you here in the name of Christ. In the name of Christ. You have a privilege. You have privileges. I didn't know about it when I was your age, my friend, because there was no provision made for us. You were seen and not heard, in one sense. But here you have. What hasn't been done for you? Well, I don't know. There's a list here as long as your arm, certain things. But let me say that tonight after the service, you will have a cup of tea that you well deserved for lasting the pace all this evening. So the Lord bless us all. Amen.